We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, what do we do going forward? Here we are, the sixth day of April. We've got at least, six more weeks? Maybe 10 more weeks of this? And that has caused a lot of consternation, not just for business people, but for the political class. There was supposed to be a convention on April the 25th for Republicans in the 7th Congressional District to pick their nominee to run against the incumbent Congresswoman, the Democrat, Abigail Spanberger. And now, how do you do a convention under any circumstance here? Ben Sloan is the chairman of the 7th Congressional District for the Republicans here in Central Virginia, and he's with us this morning. I spoke with you briefly last week, and it didn't sound like you had a solution. Did you all come up with an answer over the weekend, or are you still trying to figure this one out?
John, thank you, first of all, for having me on.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And just in case, I've got a bad case of allergies, so I've got a little bit of cough, sneeze.
Okay.
So in the event that comes up, bear with me. But
it's just the allergies. That's important to tell people.
It's just the allergies.
Okay.
And the answer is, yeah, we're still considering a lot of options. I mean, really what started as early as February, we started looking at contingencies. We've gone through a whole series of options. We're keeping everything on the table to ensure, number one, that the delegates – choose who the nominee is. And I don't know if you've heard the numbers, but we right now have approximately, because the numbers change a little bit, but approximately 5,077 delegates.
Wow.
That have filed to become part of this convention. So our goal is to hold a convention because that's what we're basically commissioned.
You're obligated. You don't have any other choice, do you?
No, we really don't. And what we can do is kind of call things a convention that maybe are a little bit modified, mm-hmm. let's say, from what a standard convention is, where everybody gets together. Because obviously, between now and June 10th, as it currently stands because of Executive Order 53 and 55, we can't hold a standard convention.
Right.
Get everybody in a room.
It was going to be at the Arthur Ashe Center, right?
That is absolutely correct, on the 25th.
And with that, with those kinds of numbers, 5,000 people, or I mean, let's say 1,000 people are too scared to come out, or they've lost interest, or they just, for whatever reason, they can't participate, you still got a couple of thousand people who will definitely want to play a role in this. You mentioned something last week about a drive-through possibility. What would that be? Is that still on the... in a list of, you know, maybe this is crazy, but this is the way we would do this?
It is. It very well is. One of the problems is we you know, number one and foremost, we have to consider the health and safety of our delegates, the public, everyone. So with that in mind, there are several options. One's a drive-through, one's a drive-in, one use the mail through some type of process, use a virtual system. There's outdoor opportunities. We're looking at what the House of Delegates, potentially G8, is going to be doing. Apparently they've moved from inside the Richmond Convention Center now to outside at a location that's, I guess, not really designated yet from what we've seen in the press. So we're trying to follow everything everybody else is doing and then invoke. I mean, if you look at it from a a logical standpoint, we have constraints that, let's say, the government doesn't have. That is, the government can say, you can vote and participate this way. Well, we've already determined by the vote of the committee that we're going to have a convention. So therefore, we have to make it represent what the convention is according to party rules, according to Robert's Rules of Order,
right,
so forth. And so therefore, no matter what we do, we have to have risk management, insurance. Right now, you cannot get insurance to even have a drive-through, drive-in, or anything where it involves people. So that's one constraint. Another constraint is, how do you really interpret EO 55 and 53 when it comes to having anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000, maybe 5,000 cars come past the place?
Right.
That is it legal to do that per the interpretation of the mandate, the directives that are in the EO? So we've got to take all this into consideration. And one thing we did yesterday, we had we've been holding virtual meetings. And one of the things we passed in a unanimous manner is actually to begin the commencement of a lawsuit against the Virginia Department of Elections and the Virginia State Board of Elections, mm-hmm, to seek relief from the deadline that requires us to have a nominee selected by June 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to carry forth with that to see if we can get relief. Again, that's another option.
And that could potentially buy you another month, or just make sure that June 9th, you don't disqualify yourself by not filing the forms by midnight that day.
Exactly. Hmm. Precisely. We want to be able to go back. We had to build consensus with our candidates and their campaigns. They've been entrusted with the fact that there's going to be a convention.
Hmm.
So we have to be able to get general consensus. The committee itself, which is comprised of members going all the way in the north to Spotsylvania, Orange, all the way to the south in Nottoway County, we have to be able to fashion something that meets the intent of a convention, that complies with all the laws, all the guidelines. And so what we're trying to do by this action, this option, if you will, is get that date, that line extended. And quite frankly, I don't want to prejudice the lawsuit. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. So let me put that out there right away. But we're in a situation where if we can get that's similar to what happens in special elections, redistricting years, and so forth, we can then have the latitude. And it's not just us, by the way. There are other congressional districts across the state that are in the same predicament.
Have they joined in the lawsuit?
Well, one of the things you have to do is you have to have a committee vote. I'll suggest that the chair can't unilaterally direct that to happen. Mm-hmm. And we have to take into consideration, I'm not a dictator, they're not a dictator. The committees filled with phenomenal individuals. We have people across all spectrums of knowledge and, let's say, capabilities and that enable a type of input to come in, whether it be risk management and insurance or, let's say, interpretation of law.
Mm-hmm.
They can't represent themselves as lawyers on our committee, per se, but they do practice law in the Commonwealth of Virginia and
right,
everything in between. So we have that we bring forth with all these ideas, all these concepts. And so they represent what happens by their votes, by we working together. And the same thing really has to happen. In particular, I'll mention the 5th District and the 10th District, Congressional District within the Commonwealth. They have to have that vote. We, fortunately, or unfortunately, depending upon how you look at it, we're kind of ahead of the game because we've been holding virtual meetings all along since this has happened.
Right.
Because we have to talk. We have to, I think you know that we have 6 filed candidates for this race, which is phenomenal. And these are not trivial people. So we have to really work within the boundaries of what a convention is. And then
presumably they'll want to make something happen where their delegates can get into one place and get counted instead of trying to thwart your efforts. I've got to ask you before we run out of time what you think your opponents are doing. What are the Democrats doing? We took the governor to task last week for not answering the question about why he selected June 10th as the date for the end of self-quarantine, with the primary deadline being on June 9th. And one of his cabinet members came on and said, oh my goodness, politics isn't even remotely a factor of what we're considering. This is a part of the 90-day plan from the very beginning. You know, I mean, you can accept that or not accept that. What do you think Democrats are up to here?
Well, I don't want to get in conjectures, because then that involves model analysis and other things like that. What we have to do is look at it from, we are a committee that complies with the law and direction. So we have to work within, we respect law enforcement, the law as it is. What we can do is challenge things, and that's part of what this relief we're seeking is the challenge, and get, I think, good relief from it. Now, back to the question about the Democrats are doing. If you look at the situation, for example, in Roanoke, the Roanoke Times, I think it was last week, reported that the Democrats in the Roanoke area have decided to switch from a firehouse primary, what we call a canvass, to a closed committee vote. Mm-hmm. That's what we will not do. That is, we don't want the committee to decide who the nominee is. We always want the delegate. So,
is that even an option under your rules?
Yes, it is.
Yes, but it you're is. Making the commitment that you won't allow that to happen, even if you're up against the clock.
Absolutely not. We can't, because it then disassociates the delegates. It disassociates the environment that we've set up for the campaigns, the candidates, and the delegates. Mm-hmm. And that's, and quite frankly, I was involved in that back in August 23rd of 2011 on the 56th House of Delegates race.
Right.
And we still hear about that. And it disassociated party members, and you can't have that. So we're looking for this relief. That'll play out an option. State Central Committee is going to be meeting in a couple weeks. There's a call going out for that. We're looking for leeway with certain aspects in there. For example, if they can grant, and I'm not suggesting this, but if they could grant immunity for an operation that we can't get insurance for now, that starts to make two of those options real practical in the near term. So,
wow, it's really a complicated situation. It's not as easy as just gathering in a field someplace and saying, okay, here are the names, let's count this out, is it?
No, unfortunately it's not. And as you really dive into this further, mm-hmm. and all the constraints are on it, you know, we've had arrangements facilities committees working for months with the concept of this. And so we now shift, okay, you guys take this path and look at it. You other take this path and look at it. And it's really a lot of evaluation and hard work by a team of volunteers that are doing this really at their own, let's say, loss of time for mm-hmm. doing family and other things. There are a lot of people putting a lot of work into this, and so it becomes very important to get it right, especially the commitment to the delegates and the candidates.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and illuminating the challenge in front of you. The 25th, I guess, there is no way anything's happening on April 25th. We just now kick it into May, right?
Let's say it this way. The committee yesterday, in addition to the motion with regards to law, mm-hmm. Legal action, mm-hmm. also voted to postpone, with a date to be determined, the convention. So, okay. The 25th, because of the fact that it's covered under EO 5355 by the City of Richmond, public schools are closed, et cetera. The venue, plus the advisory from the City of Richmond Police, that venue is out, the property's out, so
right.
That there's no way.
All right. Well, listen, stay in touch and let us know. I know a lot of people in this audience are very interested in, you know, have a favorite out of that that six-person field. And then, of course, there are a lot of Democrats who probably listen to us, too, who want to know who will be going up against Abigail Spanberger this fall. Ben Sloan is the chairman of the 7th Congressional District GOP, and appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.